Erica had been doing a lot of thinking, especially since, as we've been following her story, this 41-year-old woman that kind of came into a crisis in life when she discovered that her 14-year-old daughter was struggling with a kind of a minor addiction to diet pills. And it took her to spend some time in the city cemetery just looking at the epitaphs of her great-grandparents and then her grandparents. And ever since that night when she was just looking at her Grandma Ethel's epitaph, "Well done, good and faithful servant," and remembering her life, something had been stirring in Erica. She'd been asking some new questions, like, what if there is something out there? What if, you know, what if there's someone or something or whatever that's really out there that's guiding life and that's something I'm missing out on? And so, as a result of this thinking, she decided to go to church. Now, it came quite as a surprise to her family. She'd never really been in her adult life. But so that Sunday, she decided to go to church, the only church that she'd ever known, which was, of course, her grandmother's church. And now, she hadn't been there for 20 years since her dear grandmother's funeral. But that Sunday morning, she made her way in. Now, if you've ever been to church for the first time, it's kind of a scary thing. You know, because she had seen videos on YouTube, and there's some weird stuff that happens in churches. And she didn't really expect this to happen in her grandma's church, but you never can be too sure. So she was a little bit on guard as she walked through the doors, and she kind of looked around in the building that was sort of familiar because she'd seen it 20 years before, and it was okay. She recognized a few of the people in there from the community. In fact, the first thing she noticed is that the people there were actually friendly. They weren't like, you know, salesmen kind of jump down your throat sort of folks, or they weren't aloof or indifferent. They were just nice. They looked at her and they acknowledged her, and it was pretty cool. And so she felt at ease as she sat down in one of the seats and waited for the service to start. The second thing she noticed was the music, actually. She hadn't been to church for 20 years, but the music wasn't really what she remembered either. It was actually, she liked it. And she'd kind of expected this organ music like at the funeral, but it wasn't that at all. It was stuff that she kind of related to. It sounded like songs and things that she would like. And then they sang a song that she did know. Like, when she was a girl, they used to sing the song Amazing Grace at church. And they sang it again there. And it's funny, as she was singing it, she felt something really deep just stir in her heart, like something inside her was singing. Not even her. I mean, it was big and unusual and kind of wonderful. And she even felt like a tear rolling down her cheek. And she's like, what is going on? Why am I feeling this song so much? It's funny, isn't it? How in one phase of life, when you're kind of living one way, a song just sounds like a song. And then something changes in you, and now that song is more than a song. You ever experienced that? Well, she was experiencing that all over. It was just weird. And she's like, this is kind of different. Well, the pastor got up, and he spoke a little bit. And he was talking about how everybody's got a part to play in the body of Christ. And he told this really inspiring story about somebody that had gone out and done an active service and how it really helped somebody and blessed their life and in the name of Jesus. And Erica just sat there and she thought, oh, that is so nice. Maybe I would do that someday. I mean, not today or anything or anytime soon, because I'm not even sure if I'm a Christian or anything. But I mean, I'll kind of put that on my list of things that maybe I'll do one day. And she was getting ready to leave it at that when the service ended. Well, she was milling around afterwards, and that's when she spotted an old friend. Her name was Margene. They used to work together at an insurance agency where Erica was the bookkeeper. She hated being a bookkeeper, but she was a decent bookkeeper. And Margene spotted her from across the room. And if you ever met somebody like Margene, you kind of know. Because Margene had a smile. Like, when she smiled, it's like her face was going to come up both sides of her head, you know? And so Erica was just kind of milling around with her cup of coffee, trying to slowly make her way to the door before anybody would see her. And Margene spotted her from across the room. Da! Yay! "Hey, Eric, it's so good to see you." And she just comes running all over and gives her a big hug. And, oh, you look so great. How long has it been? And, oh, it's so wonderful to see you. And then she, well, give me the rundown. What's going on in your life? And so she's kind of thinking and goes, okay. So Erica says, well, our daughter, Jenny, is 14. 14! Oh, how the years pass. Okay, and our youngest is, Matthew is 9. Oh, I remember him. He was just a little small. Okay, and so she's telling him all this, quiet, all this story, and she's saying, well, how's it going? She says, well, you know, my husband, his business has been kind of taken off, actually, and, you know, life is actually going okay. It's let me be at home, and so I've been able to start my own business now. I've got a design business, and I just love, you know, the flexible hours. And flexible hours, she said, that is great. Yes, I love being my own boss. It's really kind of nice being able to do that, not having to work for anybody. Flexible hours, that's so great, she says. I have got just the thing, says Marjean. You should come. You should be our bookkeeper. We need help. We need help for about 3 hours a week, and you could come, and you could volunteer. That would be so great. And Erica says, because she's thinking to herself, I don't even like being a bookkeeper. I don't really know. And Margie says, oh, but you're here. I mean, that's why God led you to this church, because our church need a bookkeeper, and you're a bookkeeper. Don't you see how God has brought this together? And Erica's weird alarms are just going off, like, beep, 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 beep. Well, this is strange, she's thinking to herself. But she couldn't tell Margie no. So Marjean said, well, we'll see you at the church office Friday at 9 then, right? Okay, says Erica. Why did I say that? And then Marjean bolts off. Erica's thinking to herself, man, I just realized I've got a problem with peer pressure and trying to respond to the needs of all the people around me. And I finally go to church for the first time and hear somebody working for the Lord, and they're the ones pressuring me into doing something I don't even want to do. She's thinking, stupid, 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 stupid. But she was always a person that would keep her word. You know, she was a woman of her word. And so that next Friday morning, she shows up at the church office ready to volunteer. She walks through the doors, and it's different, because, you know, when the church is empty, it just feels so, empty. And she follows the little arrows and gets to the office, and she comes in, and sure enough, there's Marjean, she didn't know this before, but our Marjean is the office manager, and she's sitting behind her desk, and she's just talking on the phone to somebody. And so Erica comes on in, she's talking. It's obviously a very important and very engaging conversation, because Marjean kind of does this. You know how friends do that when they're on the phone? And so she puts the phone down. Oh, Erica, thank you so much for being here. There's the cubicle for the bookkeeper just down at the other end of the hallway, and she hands her a piece of paper. And here's the login and password. Just let me know if you have any problems. Okay, love you. Thank you so much for helping. Thanks. And she gets back into the conversation, and Erica's... She takes a piece of paper and goes down, and there's a little cubicle with a computer, and she types in the username and log in, and bloop, up comes QuickBooks. Huh. There's the receipts and the bills, and they're just kind of stacked there waiting for joy. She looks around, and, you know, it makes sense to her. I mean, she knows how to do this stuff. So she finds the categories and... But she's thinking to herself, why am I doing... I mean, she's got her own business, and she hires out the bookkeeping. She doesn't like bookkeeping. Why am I doing this? Why did I let myself say... Well, a moment later, before Erica even has a chance to think all the thought all the way through, Marjean comes into the room. Oh, hey, Erica, do you have everything you need? Does it all make sense? And she goes, well, yeah, I see you've got the receipts, and you got the bills, and you got the categories. Just put the bills and the receipts and the categories and... But, you know, here's the deal, Marjean, I just really don't... Well, that is great. I'm so glad it's going to work out for you. There's this very important errand I need to do, because, see, there's a family that's behind on their thing, and we got to take a letter down to the bank so they'll get foreclosed on. I'll be back really quick. And so if you just take a message, then just tell them that I'll be back really soon. Okay, bye, love you. And off she goes. And Erica's just sitting at this computer... wondering why she's here, how she got roped into this whole crazy mess in the first place. And so she thinks, I can't do this. I can't do this. She decides to write a letter. So she gets out a little piece of paper and writes a letter. Dear Margene, I really didn't want to do any of this. I feel like you pressured me into serving. And I'm sorry that I didn't have the nerve to say no right away. I'm not even sure I'm a Christian, so I don't think I have anything to offer anyways. I wanted to say all this to you in person. I'm sorry if I've let you down. Sincerely, Erica. She takes a letter and she makes her way out of the cubicle and goes to Margene's desk, and she puts it down on Margene's desk. She turns around and prepares to walk out of the building. And just as she does, a girl walks through the doorway to the office. Funny that she looks really distraught, like just kind of out of sorts, you know? And at first glance, the young woman, she was maybe 18, 20, but it looked like her daughter Jenny, only older. Just pretty, you know? And Erica just felt drawn to her. And the girl sat down in one of the reception area chairs, and she just put her face in her hands, and Erica could see that she was crying. She was just about to head out the door when she just couldn't walk past. She said, can I help you? Why did I say that? She's thinking. And the girl says, I hope so. What's your name? It's Jessica. Jessica, what's going on? Well, I think I'm kind of messed up. Well, Jessica, what's happening? Well, there's this guy, and I mean, we've been together for a while, and you know, I knew he was a user, but I just knew I could change him. So I'd never do any of the hard stuff. It was just all the reg, you know, and then this morning, I woke up, and I didn't know where I was. And she lifts up her sleeve, and Erica can see that there's bruises all the way up and down her arms. It's something that to Erica looked like needle marks. She said, Jessica, where are your parents? Well, you know, they were users too, and well, they moved to Oregon when I was 16, and I just wanted to stay here so I could complete high school, and I've just kind of been going from house to house and to my, you know, different friends and staying with different places, and you know, I've been doing okay, but I just feel like I'm slipping. I feel like all the things that I didn't want to do, I'm just getting drawn into that, and I was just walking by and I saw the church, and I'm not really a church person. I don't even know if I believe in God or anything, but I was thinking, you know, it can't hurt. So I was coming in kind of hoping that maybe somebody would pray for me. Could you pray for me? And Erica, she's feeling a lot of things right now, and she says, okay. She doesn't totally know what to do, but she takes her hand and puts it on Jessica's shoulder and says, God, this is Jessica, and she's kind of asking for help, and could you help her, please? I know that you love her. I know that she's your daughter. And I can just imagine how much it must break your heart for all these things to be happening to her, and for her to be feeling all these pressures, and for her to wake up so confused and so lost. And God, I just pray that you would help. And all these words started coming out of Erica. She didn't even know where they were coming from. It's like something inside her was praying it for her. So God, I just pray that you would lead Jessica to the things that would help her the most, and that you would take even this really awful event in her life and use it for something good. Amen. And Erica's just wondering, what's even going on in her? Where is this coming from? And Jessica's all teary as she looks back. And she says, thanks. What's your name? It's Erica. Says Erica, because that's her name. Thanks. And just then, Erica could feel something in her pocket. And she remembered. She pulled out a piece of paper. It was the number of the same drug counselor that she had talked to just the last week about her daughter. Jessica, I've got the number of this drug counselor. He's really good. If you'd go there, I'd go there with you. You would? She said. Well, yeah. I would. Really? With me? Yeah. Well, just now the pastor came out of his study. He'd apparently been working on a sermon and trying to be undisturbed. It was his sermon writing day, you know. And so he comes out of his office, and he's looking around, and he obviously doesn't have a clue what's going on in the office. And he comes out, and he goes, well, hi, says to two complete strangers. Anybody know where Margene is? And Erica says, well, she left to go run a few errands, but I'm Erica, and I'm here, and I'm kind of the volunteer bookkeeper, I guess, but there's somebody here to see you. Oh, says the pastor. Well, that's very nice. And reaches out to greet Jessica, and Jessica says, well, you know, with all due respect, Pastor, Erica here has helped me with everything I needed today. Thanks, though. The pastor listens a little bit more to Jessica's story and hears how she's received prayer and now how she's looking at some drug counseling, and says, oh, that's all very good. And he says, you know, we've actually got a program in our church that we call Mentor Moms. It's where an older woman comes alongside with a younger woman just to support her in a really tough time. Is that something that you might like to find out more about? And Jessica thinks about that. She says, yeah, that sounds like exactly what I'm looking for. Erica, are you a mentor mom? And Erica looks back. I said, no. Well, just then, Margene blows back into the office, and she's been running all her errands, and she comes in, and Erica, the first thing she does is she finally stands up, and she walks over to her friend Margene. She says, Margene, I just got to be honest with you. I don't want to be a bookkeeper. I never wanted to be a bookkeeper. I felt like you pressured me into that. But I think I know what I want to do now. We've been talking these last few weeks about some of the habits that help us to get connected and stay connected to Christ in a series called Thirsty, where we recognize we're all thirsty for God, and we all see, at least in part, our thirst by the gap that we find in our, as we do it, if we do a fearless moral inventory of ourselves, we realize that we really aren't all the people that we long to be. And we long instinctively for things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control, and we find we don't have that, at least not to the degree that we believe we should. We discovered that Jesus has told us how we can grow in our character, in our moral character, at the very core of our being. He said this in John 15:5. He said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. So we've been talking about ways that we can get connected and stay connected to Christ. And there's different habits in our life that can help with that. Well, today we're talking about one of those essential habits, which is humble service. One of the ancient rabbis used to say this: every person should have a piece of paper in either pocket. In one, I am but dust and ashes. Reminder, you are just one person among billions. You're clay. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're not a big deal. In the other pocket. Now, some of you are just wondering, like I am, what exactly is butt dust? But anyways, so. Now, you can erase that from the podcast later. All right. Okay. And in the other pocket, you should have another piece of paper that says, for my sake, the world was created. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are a very big deal. And it's as we keep both of those things, as we keep both of those things in healthy balance, that's where we find true living, the true power for living. Remembering that we are just one among many. We are just clay. We're just dirt apart from God. But in Christ, we are valued. We are the children of the Most High. A gift of infinite worth. Paul puts it a whole lot better in Romans chapter 12, and that's actually where we're going to be today as we open up God's word. He says this: for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to, what's the next phrase? Not just some of you? No, the best of you? The ones with the nicest cars? The ones that are the best looking, like the front row here? No, what's the phrase? Each of you. Okay, so everybody gets this. Really? Wow. Okay. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. Hey, that'd make a good song. Okay. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body and what? Some members. No? Each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. The big idea today: God has given every single Christian a part to play in the body of Christ. You are not here by accident. God has you on this earth for very particular purposes. Now, when we think of our own gifts, sometimes we're not really good self-assessors. Because sometimes, like the scripture passage is saying here, we think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. You know, we're kind of like that first round in American Idol. You know, where it's kind of a mean show that way. It's a little nasty because, I mean, in the first week, there's people that come in and they all think they're the next world's greatest singer kind of deal. And for the most part, they're not. And we sort of, in that context, you know, anybody outside of that person can hear that. And that's why it's sort of sad and it's sort of mean. But that's also one of the reasons why I mean, you need other Christians in your life. Because you're not as big a deal as you think you are. There are some things that you think you're amazing at that you're really not that great at. And one of the greatest gifts, I'm just being honest, one of the greatest gifts that you can receive is when another person knows you and loves you well enough to help you do good self-assessment. On the other hand, there are things in your life that you have probably discounted, things that you go, wow, that just comes so easy to me, it's not a big deal, it's not really much at all. And we underestimate our own value too. And that's also where we need Christian community. Because you cannot see yourself all that clearly at times. You need people to lovingly take a look at your life and say, you know what? That's something that I'm seeing God using. That's something that I think is actually a very valuable gift. Because we very readily underestimate our own gifts. Especially because when it's a spiritual gift, many times that aspect for you comes very easily. You don't have to work at it as much, so you might not even think it's a big deal. But it is. So as we seek to develop a heart for service, as a heart of surrendering our gifts and our talents to God, I just have a few quick little ideas to share your way. The first is, look for opportunities to serve anonymously. Because God sees. God knows. Keep yourself available to what seem like the lowly tasks. I mean, one of the ways that spiritual gifts can get misapplied, somebody might go, you know, they take a spiritual gifts test, which I recommend, by the way. It's a very good thing to do. They take a spiritual gifts test and they go, oh, my gift is the gift of teaching. Therefore, I'm going to look for opportunities to teach. And if it's not teaching, I'm not going to do it. And so somebody comes along and what they really need is a bag of groceries. And you're like, that's not my gift. I'm sorry. You know, come back the next day. You know, find somebody with a service or a mercy gift because that ain't me. And I'm going to go watch some TV. You know, we can do stuff where we take our gifts and we look at them actually very arrogantly. Be available. Here's a good rule of thumb. As you discover what your gift is, those are the areas of ministry you should sign up for. Those are the teams that you should look for a chance to be a regular part of. And at the same time, be available in the spur of the moment to serve in areas that are outside your primary gifting. So plan to be involved in areas that are in your primary gifting and be available in those areas that aren't. Third is seek for accurate self-assessment. I mean, many leadership people have said that honest feedback is the breakfast of champions. Because, you know, experience is not actually the best teacher. Evaluated experience is the best teacher. As you steward your gift and you look for opportunities for people to honestly and lovingly speak into your life about how you're doing in those various areas. That's one of the reasons why you need other Christians in your life. It is very hard to thrive as a Lone Ranger Christian. Very hard to thrive. And seek to find your most appropriate place in the body. Your most appropriate place. You have got a gift. I don't even know necessarily what it is, but I do know this, that God has given our church every resource needed to accomplish the mission that he's given us. Every resource needed. Problem is, many of those resources, we haven't spotted them yet. Because, you know, maybe they just haven't been seen, noticed, or in many cases, you might not think you have anything to give. And yet, because you've discounted or underestimated the value of what you really have to give and the talent that you really can lend to the cause of Christ. So ask some people. If you're in one of the connection groups this week, especially one of the thirsty groups, you're going to be doing an exercise where others in the group are going to be just telling you some of the things that they've seen in your life. And that might be a good excuse to get into a connection group. Or, even if you're not in one yet, and maybe you're going to get it in the next round or something, but just to talk to some friends. Sit down with somebody, and this week, I challenge you, actually double dog dare you. Sit down with somebody this week and say, what gifts do you see in me? What gifts do you see in me? And let them speak lovingly into your life. Then take those things to the Lord and pray about them. Lord, what gifts do I have? And how can I lay them down for your service? Now, ours is a congregation where, I mean, we're already, you know, way into service. Worship, connect, serve, that's the main thing that we're about. I mean, I think we had at least 100 people in various forms out with Make a Difference Day yesterday. I can't even keep track of all the different ways that people are out there in the community. You guys are nuts. It's wonderful. And that's a tremendous strength that I hope we never, ever lose. Or if you're just kind of getting involved, ready with Columbia, I mean, just fasten your seatbelts, folks. We are an active church. Because, you know, and we're really out there in the community in a wide variety of ways. But I hope that along with that, you know, comes those honest self-assessment, that time in Christian community, that time in discipleship, that time in the Lord to say, Lord, let me not just be busy, but let me be about using the gifts, stewarding well the gifts that you have given me. That's my challenge to you and to us today, is seek that honest self-assessment. How has the Lord wired you for service? And how can you use it for him? How can you give that gift back to the one that gave it to you in the first place? Let's pray together. Lord, I just want to thank you for this church, these folks that are just gung-ho about community service, that are reaching out and they're serving and loving people in need in such a wide variety of ways. But Lord, I pray that enthusiasm wouldn't just be enthusiasm. But God, that as we meet together, as we trust each other, as we have honest conversations with each other, that you would guide each of us to honest self-assessment, to know what our gifts are, to use them well, to grow, to give. Thank you, God, for your promise that to each of us is that your grace and your gifts are given to each of us. Thank you for that promise. May we live that out. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.